You're listening to Million Dollar Mission, the podcast for entrepreneurs that are focused on purpose and profit. I'm your host, Dr. Chantel Chambliss, serial entrepreneur, nonprofit expert, wife, and mother. On today's episode, we are going to wrap up season one with some lessons that I have learned and am still learning on this journey, on this million dollar mission, right? I have officially been in this space, in this nonprofit social entrepreneur space for a little over 10 years. It was actually 10 years this past August. And there are some key lessons that I have learned that are still motivating me, still carrying me, still supporting me, and still helping me navigate my way through this landscape. And today I want to share my 10 lessons in 10 years. Let's get into it. So 10 years in any business is really a major milestone. And if you are celebrating 10 years in your business, in your nonprofit business, in your for-profit business, in your social enterprise, I just really want you to give yourself a round of applause and a pat on the back, because very few people make it to this point. There are so many entrepreneurs that really don't even make it past the 10-month mark. So if you have hit 10 years, just know I am like high-fiving you, hugging, whatever your preferred form of celebration is, I am there with you. Because celebrating 10 years of anything is a major, major milestone. Over the past 10 years, I have some days I feel like I've seen it all, and then you see something new and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I've officially seen it all, right? But in the moving and the shaking and the doing and the growing, there are some major life lessons that this journey has taught me. And really, they have laid the foundation to ensure that I have another 10 years in business and that I can accomplish whatever goals I set before me. And so I really wanted to round out season one of Million Dollar Mission with these 10 lessons, my kind of motivating factors or forces that kind of keep me moving. And so I want to share these with you and hope that they help someone else or resonate with you, or maybe you've learned this lesson in the same way that I have, but I'm going to share those with you right now. Lesson one, a team of one won't get it done. In entrepreneurship, it is so easy to want to be the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the marketer, the secretary, the janitor, you know, the tech person, the IT person. It's so easy to be all of the things. Typically, when we first go into business, it's because we're not making enough money. And so you kind of feel like you have no choice. But what I've learned is that even when we think the money is not there, right? That every person that you intentionally add to your team really increases your bottom line. They increase your cash flow. They ensure that things are getting done so that the money can keep going and the impact can keep impacting and the change can keep changing. Adding people to your team is a requirement. It is something that almost should be like entrepreneur 101, right? Once you've come up with the idea and how you're going to execute and implement, step two really should be find a teammate, even if it's just one other person, someone that you can delegate things to that are outside of your zone of genius, but maybe inside of their zone of genius. And I've talked about this in a previous episode where we talked about team building. And I gotta admit, it is my number one lesson. A team of one won't get it done. Lesson two is trading time for money is the best way to stay broke. I should probably say this is also the quickest way to stay broke. If you want to work yourself to the bone, be emotionally, physically, and financially drained, develop a habit of trading time for money. What does that look like? It looks like only providing one-on-one services. It looks like only having an hourly rate. It looks like taking on projects simply because you need to fill a gap. There are going to be times, and we've all experienced them, where we just simply need some cash. There needs to be an infusion of cash. But what I've learned is that when I backed away from trading time for money, because I'm not exempt, I did this for many, many, many years and wondered why I would come home and like face plant at the end of the day. It was because I had literally traded in my most valuable commodity for something tangible. I had traded my time for a dollar bill. Not $1, but you all know what I'm saying. And what I learned was that because our time is very, very limited, I could never produce enough time to produce or warrant the money that I really needed to live the lifestyle that I wanted. And I'll give you an example. So in a 24-hour day, right, let's assume that you sleep for 8 hours, that you work for 8 hours, and that the other 8 hours is lifestyle. It's working out, it's spending time with family, it's attending church or whatever you may do in that third 8 hours. So in the 8 hours that you're working, if you are in the habit of trading time for dollars, what happens is you hit the ceiling, right? So let's assume that at an entrepreneur just starting out in consulting is charging a rate of $100 per hour. In order to make $800 per day or $4,000 per week, an entrepreneur would literally have to be doing something all 8 hours of every single day. There is no time for rest. There is no time for a lunch break. There is no time for meaningful conversations. There is no time to work on your business instead of in your business. You are simply transactional. You are trading 1 hour for $100 in order to hit your goal of $4,000 a week. Well, when I learned that I could package up 8 hours in a week and charge $4,000 for those 8 hours, the game began to change. I began to have freedom. I began to feel fulfilled. I began to not come home and do face plants, right? Because now I had more control over my time. And I was not simply trading my most valuable commodity for a tangible dollar. And it really shifted the game. Lesson three is fail fast. This is probably the most consistent advice that I give my clients. Typically, when I meet a client, especially if they're already in business, I find that the reason that they're not growing, that they are not making more money, that they are not serving more people, that they are not creating more impact is because they are holding on to something that is failing, but they don't want to let it go. On this journey towards your million, on this journey towards creating legacy, on this journey towards building a lifestyle of freedom and wealth, whatever it is that you desire, we are all going to have to learn to fail fast. That when something is not working, this can be a relationship, it can be a business idea, it can be a pair of shoes, honey. And when they're not working, it is time to let it go. If you have begged and borrowed and pleaded for this pair of Louboutins, but when it's time to walk out the house and you have to go, let's say, present on a stage, and these shoes are killing your feet, your ankle is twisting, your pinky toe is screaming, you're gonna have to decide, am I gonna still try to walk across this stage, knowing that I may break my ankle, tear my Achilles, fall off the stage just because I don't want to say these shoes aren't working for me? Or are you going to kick those shoes off, slide into your old faithful flats, stand up on that stage with confidence, and do what you need to do? We have to learn to let go when it's not working and let go fast. When we see the red flags flagging, let it go. Let it go and let it go fast. Lesson four is hire slow, fire fast. This is actually kind of a piggyback off of my a team of one won't get it done, right? So in building these teams, we cannot get so attached to people that we keep giving them chance after chance. We need to be really intentional, operate in discernment when we are bringing people onto the team. But once they're there, if they are not delivering, if their values are not aligned, if they are not mission focused, and if they are not contributing to the bottom line, they have to go and they got to go fast. It goes right back to fail fast. If this thing isn't working, let it go. Hire slow, fire fast. Lesson number five, nothing beats a great idea except execution. You can have all the amazing ideas in the world, and I know so many entrepreneurs who have notebooks and notebooks and binders and folders full of ideas that have never seen the light of day. That it's amazing, but what is better that all of these ideas that could potentially change the world would be the execution of them. And there's like a 5A to this lesson. If you are sitting on a great idea and you simply don't have the capacity to execute, give it away. Give it to someone who can. I know we've all met people who go, I have this great idea, but I don't want to tell anybody because I don't want someone to steal it from me. I find that 99% of the time, those are people who do not execute. And they believe that this has been given to them by the universe and they are the ones who must do it. And sometimes that's simply not true. The universe may have given this to you, they may have planted this idea in you. That doesn't mean that you're the one to execute. Sometimes it is given to you to hand off. So if you are one of those people with notebooks and binders and folders full of amazing ideas that could potentially change the world, have an honest conversation with yourself about whether or not you are able to execute and implement this thing. And if the answer is no, then maybe you were called to give it away. Because there may be just someone who didn't have possess the creativeness to articulate this thing, but they definitely have the capacity to execute it. So remember, nothing beats a great idea except execution. Lesson number six is really, really simple. Rest is my birthright. When I am tired, when I don't want to look at this screen anymore, when I don't want to talk anymore, when I want to crawl into bed with popcorn and wine and watch a SVU marathon, even though I've seen every episode three times, that is my birthright. The world is not going to stop spinning on its axis. People are not going to die because I decide to rest. Okay? There is a difference between quitting and resting. And women especially, and in particularly Black women, we tend to think that the desire for rest is failure. We think that when we want to rest, it's because we're not doing it right. or I just don't have the space, or I don't have the capacity and I should have more. No, your birthright is calling. It's telling you to rest. And you are allowed to do just that. Lesson number 7, routines rule. I am a Scorpio by nature, but most Scorpios are very meticulous and they like things in very neat order, borderline like what people would call OCD. And I am that way in most things, except for daily routine. I struggle for a really long time with daily routine, actually until I had my daughter. And then I realized that routine was required in order for her to learn and to thrive. She's new to this earth. She knows nothing. And so in order to teach her, things had to be done repetitiously, constantly, and consistently so that she could learn and eventually thrive. And so I went back to what is really my nature of building out routines, getting up at the same time every day, doing the same things at the beginning of the day. Every day is going to be a little bit different. You may have a meeting this day and no meetings that day, and a workshop this day and a conference that day. But certain points of the day should always be rooted in routine. Your wake-up routine, your bedtime routine, your lunch or break time routine. Have you taken a look at, instead of trying to like time block or build out this whole day and make these 8 hours exactly the same every day, look at certain sections of your day and build routine there. And then the other parts of the day will flow smoother even when they're a little hectic. Even when my day is full of meetings and calls and conversations that don't go quite the way I want them to, because I have done my morning routine and ritual, and because I know that no matter what's going on at a certain point in the day, I am going to break. I am going to have a mealtime or lunchtime routine. And then I know that at the end of the day, once I have picked my daughter up from school, that we are going to have our evening and bedtime routine. It's going to ensure that she gets proper rest, that I get proper rest, and that we are ready to face the next day. Routines are everything. So if you are feeling frazzled and overwhelmed and anxious all of the time, please take the time to just look at your routines. And if there are none, create some. Lesson number 8, everything will work again if you unplug it for a while, even you. I learned this lesson a few years ago, and I used to think, when I saw a meme on social media several years ago that said this, and I saved it in my phone and never really did anything with it until I reached a point where I was so exhausted and so tired and so frustrated. And I'm not talking physically, spiritually, I was spent. And so I always thought that when I first read the meme, I always thought it meant like, go rest, go to sleep. But what I really interpreted to mean is that it's okay to hit reset. It's okay to go back to start. It is okay to start again. It is okay to go back to the basics. I am actually living this lesson right now. I am making major changes in my business that feel really basic, right? And it was frustrating for a while. And then I realized what I was doing was resetting. I'm going back to the basics. So I, you know, had gotten to a point in my business where I didn't do 15-minute discovery calls with clients anymore. And right now those are open on my calendar again. And at first I was really upset about that. But what I realized, it was part of the reset. I really am doing a hard reset in my business to set myself and my team up for greatness. And so I had to unplug it for a minute. And when we plug it back in, it's going to work better than ever. So understand that if things are going haywire, not really working the way that you think that they should, it's okay to go back to start. It's okay to pull the plug and to reset. Lesson number 9, investment is mandatory. Listen, when the money gets slow and bills are coming in, the last thing you want to do is invest heavily in yourself. And I will say this again, women especially, we hesitate to invest in ourselves. We will not bat an eye to invest in someone that we love or in a cause that we believe in. But when it comes to personal and professional development, we tend to take pause because we really want to think about, can we do this ourselves? Is this something that's required right now? But I'm telling you, investment is mandatory. When I left corporate America in 2018, my business was already up and running and thriving. But when you take a six-figure salary out of the mix, it changes the game just a little bit, right? And so whereas many people thought that I should probably bunker down on my spending, I spent more than I ever had. I invested so heavily into coaches and consultants and specialists to do things that I didn't know how to do and to teach me things that I did not know. I invested so heavily, even when I walked away from my corporate job, and it has paid off tenfold. In many cases, the investment that I've made in a coach or a consultant came back to me within 90 days. Investment is mandatory. Had I left my corporate job and tried to stand or grow only with the skills and only with the knowledge that I had at that moment, I would still be at that, in that space. I'd still be there. I would not have grown and evolved as I have in full-time entrepreneurship over the past 4 years. So it's really, like I said, it's hard to say, I'm going to take something or money away from this thing and I'm going to invest it in me, but it is mandatory. And finally, lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 probably should have been lesson number 1. I feel like a biggie verse with that. But it is something, it's a pet peeve of mine, and it is a lesson that I remind myself of daily. And it's actually a really old lesson, something that I taught myself when I first started my business years and years and years ago, even when I was still working my corporate job and had a business on the side. And that is, your friends are not required to attend. Every single one of us has been on social media or in a group or speaking to a friend who owns a business, nonprofit or otherwise, who is upset because their friends are not supportive. Their friends are not donating. Their friends are not buying tickets. Their friends are not buying shoes. Their friends are not coming to events. Your friends are not required to attend. Entrepreneurship 101 teaches us to know and learn and market to your target audience. Guess what? Sometimes your friends don't fall into that category. And that is okay. The moment that you get out of your feelings and into the facts is when you will realize that your friends are not required to attend. Learn your target audience, market to your target audience, and understand that your friends, your family, your spouse are not required to attend if they are not your target audience. This is really different than support, because people are going to go, oh, Dr. Chantel, but I mean, they should support me. They are friends. There are ways to support you without consuming your service. Can they share it on social media? Sure. They're not required. Can they donate a couple of bucks? They can, but they're not required. What they are required to do, if they love you, is to continue to show you love, to allow you to operate in your excellence, to cheer you on, to root for your success. but they are not required to attend. They are not required to purchase services that they do not need. They are not required to attend events that are not targeted to them. They are not required to donate dollars to a cause or a mission that does not resonate with them just because it's you. So I hope that these lessons have resonated. I hope that they have kind of like turned on the light bulb for some people, because they have definitely done that for me over the past 10 years. And now that I am on this new journey with Million Dollar Mission, the podcast, resetting my business, and kind of laying the groundwork for my next 10 years, I look forward to sharing more lessons with you, to learning alongside you, and to, of course, creating lasting, impactful change in our communities. Thank you for listening to Million Dollar Mission, the podcast for entrepreneurs that are focused on purpose and profit. I'm your host, Dr. Chantel Chambliss, serial entrepreneur, nonprofit expert, wife, and mother. This podcast has been produced by Joy Donaldson. Until next time, stay on your mission.